Good morning, everyone.
Wow.
It's good to be here. I sometimes, when I come out here, you normally just see me doing crazy, silly, weird stuff. So you see me come out and it's like, oh, what's he going to do next? And so it's sometimes tough. But man, I love the privilege of getting to speak today. It's an honor. I'm glad they gave that to me. It's a great day. I love being the children's pastor here. It's much less nerve-wracking speaking to kids, because when it starts going bad, you throw out candy and everything goes so much better. You're like, all right. And they're like, Jesus loves me. And you're like, yes, he does. And so, I mean, it's just a much easier deal. So be with me as I'm a little nervous today. It's been a while since I've spoke to the old folks. And we got some cool stuff going on. We got some great leaders in kids ministry. I hope you see that. We truly want to make every week for your kids the best hour of their week. We want them to come and enjoy when they come to church. I understand that playground makes it sometimes that worst 10 minutes of your life, but it's good for us. Those kids get on there, they get to go in those classrooms, and they get to hear about how God loves them. And that's our goal, is that when they leave here, they get to hear about Jesus and all he's done. And we got so many leaders. We got people leading nursery, people in there today that it's able to run smooth without me, and they are just loving on your kids. And I just hope that you guys see that and that we love your kids here at Solace, because we really do. And we've got a cool event coming up, so if any of you guys got any 4th, 5th, or 6th graders, Superstart Preteen Conference is coming up at the Mavey Center on February 20th and 21st, and it's a whole lot of fun. There's information online, but they will not want to miss that fun event, because on Saturday you get to go to Incredible Pizza, and so even if the conference isn't any good, the pizza always is, and so it's a great deal. And if you know me long enough, if you get to know me, you're going to find out that, as this one comedian says, he says that the man in his head never steps up to the batter's box before the words come out. And so I am often like that. I will say something and I'll get done saying it and I'll be like, oh. Or normally it's the other people are like, what'd you just say? And I'm like, oh, I probably shouldn't have said that. I've had to pay extra large tips to waiters because I've said something and they're at like the table behind me. It's like, oh, they heard that. And $20 tip. I love you. I'm so sorry I said anything. And so I say that, but mine is just because of ignorance. I sometimes speak that way, but Jesus said some words sometimes that cut into people's lives, and he said things, but he said it to cut to their core. Jesus said things to people's life to change them. Jesus spoke words, and he spoke into our comfortable lives. We want to live a comfortable life as Christians. I think many times, including me, we get our free ticket to heaven and we think everything is good, you know. But the Bible says in James 1:22, it says, do not merely listen to the words and so to deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And that's tough. We often want to be like Brett Favre. If you guys remember Brett Favre at the end of his football career, he would always say, I'm not going to play, I'm not going to play, I'm not going to play. And then once the practice season got over, it's like, I'm going to play. And that's the way we kind of are. We like church on Sunday. We want to get our worship on. But during the week, you know, we're not so much. That's when it gets a little uncomfortable for us to be that way. We don't want anything uncomfortable. And we have so much access to the Word of God and the words of Jesus, yet we often don't apply it to our own lives. And here's something you'll hear a lot. We'll ask this question to our leaders. We'll say, you know what? Is that a sin? And when they say, well, the Bible doesn't say so, we'll be like, all right, must be all right. You know, we try to get as close to sin as we can without sinning. And you know, I just don't think Jesus in heaven looks down upon that and says, you know what, I'm so proud that they're getting right to the edge. And because you know what happens when you go to the edge? We've seen it in Lot. Lot left Abraham and he went close to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah and he got sucked in. And that's what happens to us. We try to get close. And that's why Jesus, he came, and the Bible in Revelation says he came with a sword. in his mouth, or he's coming with a sword. And I think that is so true of the words of Jesus, because they often, they cut into our comfortable lives and they try to cut out the parts of our lives. And we just don't really like that. Because if you actually let Jesus' words impact your life and start cutting away at your deal, it's kind of like riding a roller coaster without the restraints. It can get crazy. And that goes back to, that's not that comfortable life that you really, really want. Because Jesus begins to change you. And whoa, as things about Jesus that really intrigue you, is the first thing is change. He wants to change you. And if any of you guys are like me, change is no fun. Every year, beginning of the year, we decide we're going to change. And then the next year, we decide we're going to change again. Because we didn't make it. Change is very difficult. And Jesus comes into our lives and says, let's change everything you've got to do. And to follow him, we must change. And we do not like that. We don't like to change. And another thing is, Jesus sees us at our core. Other people see us on the outside. Jesus sees you where you're most vulnerable. He actually knows more about you than you know about yourself. And that is very disturbing. And so when Jesus begins to speak to us and you know what he knows about you, it can get very difficult. And that comfortable life that we want, because we hear the words of Jesus, like we see these stories of Jesus that are like, he heals those that are deaf, and he heals the blind people, and he takes care of the lepers, and he's here, and he wants this abundant life, and we can get that. And we all love those verses. But it's those ones that cut us at our core, that begin to speak to us where we're at and get there, are the ones that make it sometimes a little uncomfortable. Jesus starts to began to speak with that sword. And today I want to look at some of these words that probably when the people, his disciples, were following him and the crowd were gathered around him as he said these words, the people probably were like, say what? Did you really just say that? That is crazy talk. And we'll look at some of these, some like this. The law says, do not murder. But I say, if you hate your brother, you have committed murder. Whoa. I mean, we learn hate as a young age. We learn that word, especially if you got kids. Your kids always, I hate them. I don't like you anymore. We use that. And the Bible says, if you really hate somebody, it's committing murder. Wow. Wow, Jesus, I like, thou shalt not murder. I haven't done that. That's much easier. I'm not like the guy in the video. I'm not bringing you my deepest, darkest secrets of killing somebody. I haven't buried somebody under my house, Mitch. He had a dream, and you can ask him about it. All right. Then he says this. I say, don't commit adultery. But if you look on somebody with lust, you've already committed adultery. Whoa, men. Wow. That cuts deep. That's hard. That's not that comfortable life I want. Maybe I'll skip out of this. I'll hold out until we get to the stuff I want. Because Jesus teaches tough teaching sometimes, and we don't like it. We begin to cut and paste our Bible, and that's what Christianity has become today. That's why there's so many questions amongst Christianity of how should marriage be, or how should this be, or how should that? Because people want to cut out his words because they get tough, because they speak to our core. He says, if somebody hits you, turn the other cheek. Whoa, teach that to a kid. Love your enemies. Pray for them. If somebody asks for your coat in court, give them your coat and give them your shirt as well. That's just in his first sermon. That's just his first few chapters of his speaking. And so Jesus comes, and he comes, and his words begin to wreck our life. They begin to cut into your life. And he says things like this, Matthew 10:37, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. What, Jesus, are you not a family man? I mean, that's tough. What are you saying? He's not saying, I don't love your family. That's the furthest thing from he's saying. He wants you to love your family the most, and he knows how for you to love your family the most, and that's to love him above all things. But we hear that, and we're like, whoa, that cuts. That's deep. Jesus said in Matthew 10:38-39. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So you mean I've got to die to live? Jesus, this is, I like, again, tell me about if I give, you'll give me back tenfold. Tell me if I pray, you're going to answer those prayers. If I'm sick, you're going to take care of it. Don't tell me this. To live is to truly die. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German theologian, says, when Christ bids a man to come, he bids him to come and die. You see, Jesus' words never called us to this comfortable life that we live and that I often live. He called us to change. He called us to embrace a life that's totally different than what everybody else is doing. He called us to listen to his words and to do them. And as he says in Matthew 7, when you do that, you're building your house upon the rock. We all want to build our house that way. None of us want to not. So today I want to look at two different times that Jesus was teaching and two men's reactions to what Jesus said. And we're going to start in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Jesus has just fed the 5,000 men, and he had fed all those. And so, you know, when Jesus is doing something amazing, doing something big like that, people begin to follow. And so immediately he understands that these people are so excited that he fed them that they're wanting to make him king. So he retreats to be by himself, to spend time with his father, to do what he's supposed to do. And when he retreats, he sends his disciples across the shore because he's headed across to the other side of the lake. And as they're going across to the other side of the lake, a storm comes. And you guys know, Jay talked a little bit about this last week, Jesus comes walking across that water, and he gets them and he tells the waves to be still. And the waves are still, and immediately that boat is on the other side. And the next morning, the people have camped out. They've waited for Jesus on the shore where he was at, and they look over and they realize that Jesus is on the other side of the shore, and they're like, there's not another boat. I know he sent one boat over there. There's not another boat over there. How did Jesus get to that side of the boat? So they're intrigued, so they want to figure it out. So they begin to follow him. These people begin to follow him. They get into some boats that are there, and they go to the other side to hear Jesus teach. And Jesus begins to teach them. He begins to say stuff that really, really messes with them. He says, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven. It is the Father who gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And those men are like, yeah, like you gave us yesterday. Sir, they said, from now on, give us that bread. They're like we often are. Do something for me, Jesus. I'm here for you. You've done something for me. Do it again. I like it. You give me what I want. And Jesus answers them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he believes in me will never be thirsty. And that begins to wreck those people's lives. Is he saying he's the bread? He's saying he's God's son. That's not where I am supposed to be. They begin to murmur and they begin to question his teaching. It began to be difficult. It's like some of the teachings that he says, and they begin to resonate in their heart. And then he goes on to say, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat my flesh of the Son of Man and drink the blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on that day. And those people are like, we're Jews. We don't drink blood. That's like against our culture. And you want us. And they're trying to take this so literally. And Jesus is just saying, no, I am everything you need. I am all you need. I will quench all your thirsts, all your wants, all your longings. I can quench those if you will come to me. That bread I gave you yesterday will sustain you for a few hours. If you will come and you will begin to follow me, if you will come and die, if you will do what I say, if you will do that, You will never go hungry. You will never go thirsty. I will give you exactly what you want, but it's not what you think. And it says this, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, these were disciples, they had followed him for a while in John 6:60, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And they walked away. It says, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him because Jesus' teaching hit them and they didn't like what they heard. They liked being fed. They didn't like having to take part in being a part of it. They wanted Jesus to do the work. They didn't want to change their life. They wanted Jesus to do the miracles and they wanted to follow him around. But Jesus said, you must accept this. You must believe this. I am everything you need. You must take this. And they could not follow him. And so Jesus turns to his 12 closest and he says, hey, you guys going to leave me too? That was tough teaching. You guys going to quit on me too? And Peter looks at him and he says this, Lord, to whom shall we go? Peter hears all these teachings and Peter looks at Jesus and he's saying, Jesus, I have nowhere else to go. You're all I've got. You're everything. Your words, I might not fully understand them yet. I might not know what you are saying. And you're going to find out over time is I'm going to mess them up a whole lot. But God, Jesus, your words are all I've got. I have nowhere else to go. When I thought I was worthless, you wanted me. When everybody else had passed me over to be disciples, you came and selected me. I was a fisherman. You didn't care. You selected me. God, you are all I've got. I have nowhere else to go. Your words are eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. God, you are my compass, and I'm going to follow you. And his life was wrecked. What else do I got? You're all I need. And we know what happens to Peter. He messes up along the way, but he's the one that announces who Jesus is. And Jesus says, upon that, I will build my rock. Upon that rock, I will build my church. When he confesses who Jesus is. And he also heals many people and he does many things. And even though he messes up big time, but because he followed Jesus and knew Jesus was all he got, he started the church. And we're here today because men like him decided to go out. And when they heard Jesus' words, they didn't quit and walk away. They said, Jesus, you're all I've got. And he believed that to his core. It cut him even to the fact that he gave his life up for Jesus. And he died on a cross, just like Jesus. But he wouldn't do it like Jesus. So he said, turn me upside down because I'm not worthy of that man. Because when I was least, when nobody believed in me, he did. And his words are all I've got. What an amazing way to answer God's words. And you see, when you answer God's words that way, when you say, Jesus, your words are all I've got. I've got nothing else. I don't know what else to do. You know what you find at the end of that statement? You find everything you ever wanted. All those statements that you wanted, that you liked, that you wanted Jesus, you know, like Jesus, do me a miracle. That's at the end of that rope where you say, Jesus, you're all I've got. Where else am I going to go? There's a story of another guy. In Matthew chapter 19, the Bible says he's a rich young man and he comes up and he asks Jesus, hey, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Which one? The man inquired. Jesus replied, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that man is like, yes, I've done it. All those I have kept. The young man thought he had wowed Jesus. Man, I've got eternal life. That's that comfortable thing. I didn't murder. I loved my neighbors. I was a good person. I'm exactly what he wants. That's awesome. Jesus, oh, I can't wait for him to pat on my back. Can't wait for that. Oh, Jesus, you're going to pump me up. And this crowd's going to be like, what a man this guy is. And Jesus looks at him and he says, but there's one thing you lack. If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Give my stuff to the poor. In our culture, Jesus, I don't know if you know this, but it's considered you're blessed if you have all this money. It's considered you're there. I can imagine maybe even Jesus' disciples were like, yo, Jesus, don't say that. This guy can give us some of his money and help us fund so we're not sleeping outside anymore. He can make life easier. But Jesus did not want to come to give people the easy life. He wanted to give them the abundant life. He wanted to give them perfection. So he looked at this man and he cut to his core. He looked at his heart. He didn't look at the outward appearance. He looked right to his heart and he said, buddy, there's one thing you need to do. You need to get rid of your stuff. Not because Jesus is against stuff, but because Jesus wants to be first. He wants you to say, you're all I've got. This man looked at Jesus that day and said, I've got a lot of stuff, so I'm going to keep that. And the Bible says he walked away sad. You see, Jesus' words, he gets in our face and he cuts to our core and he looks at our heart and he begins to look at our walls and he looks through our religious systems, and he says, you know what? It's not about a religious system. You can't put it in a box. It's not just a little program of behavioral change. It's not about learning all the spiritual disciplines and memorizing all the scripture to be a great church and being a good Christian. No, there is something deeper and fuller that God is inviting you into. His invitation is that you will come and that you will have something new that will go on, and you will become a new creation, and you will be a bold person that's willing to go out and do everything. And Jesus cut to this man's core and he walked away sad because his money was more important than anything else. Maybe today, Jesus, this invitation still sets today. He looks at kind of all of us and he's like, hey, you guys gonna leave me too? It's tough. There's one thing you need to do. He might look at you. You might not be money. It might not be money. Many of you, it probably is. This young man, it was money. The same problem that was some 2,000 years ago is the same thing that rips our lives apart today is money. But maybe it's winning the applause of people. Maybe that's your idol that Jesus wants to cut away. You're so performance driven. You want people to clap at you. You want people to do everything right. Maybe your performance is in the kids you raise and those idols. And you're like, man, I've got to get them everything the best. I'm going to take care of them. We're going to run ragged across this world so my kids get to be involved in everything. And they won't miss out on anything because they are my kids. And I want people to look at me and say, what a great family. And Jesus might come to you and say, hey, there's one thing you need to do. You need to put me above your family. Jesus cuts to our core and he comes to us. And see, Jesus is good and holy, but he definitely is not safe. He's not comfortable. He's not just a ticket to get you into heaven. He is a life change program that comes and lives on the inside and changes you from the inside out. And he wrecks your life. And it's not, he doesn't tell us these things like point out our flaws, and he doesn't look at you and say, are you going to leave us too? He doesn't do that. He doesn't look at you and say, you need to get rid of this because he wants to make you feel like dirt or make you feel like trash. He looks at you because he wants you to have that John 10:10. I want you to have that abundant life. And here's how you can have it. Make me all you've got. When I am all you've got, that abundant life will be right there. You know that stuff you want? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. When you focus in on God and you hear his words, he's not doing it to tear you down. He's doing the exact opposite, because God is always waiting. He's waiting there with open arms, with his grace, and he's waiting to hold you. But he cuts you to the core, not to make you feel bad, but to change you so you can have that abundant life. You see, his words were spoken to expose the truth. He will not back down on dealing with you. Jesus does not. He's not afraid. He's not me. If the burger's wrong at McDonald's, I don't go back up to tell them. I don't like that. That's confrontation. I don't like that. I'll just take the stuff off. Jesus ain't afraid to tell people what's up. And he look at you, and he doesn't again do it to make you feel like trash. He does it to give you that abundant life. So my question is to you today, are you really ready to hear from Jesus? His words are there. And how do you handle these words? Maybe you're like this. I know what the Bible says, and I have read the book of Jesus, and I've read the Bible, and I've read all those parts, and I've hear his words, and I hear all he has to say. And I agree with a lot of it, so I'll follow those things. But there's just some I can't agree with, and so I'm not. Jesus is speaking to you today. You're just like those people that said, man, that's hard teachings. You might be sitting in this church and you haven't walked away. You're like, no, I haven't walked away. But if you say that, you're walking away. Maybe you say, I realize the Bible says this, but when I do those things, I really don't feel guilty. So I'm going to keep doing them because I would feel guilty if not. Or maybe you say like Peter, I might not understand everything or want to do it all, but it does not matter because Jesus, you are Lord of my life. And I kneel down and I submit myself to your wisdom and your words, even though they hurt, even though they cut me, even though they make me have to change. I am all yours today. You see, following Jesus will cost you everything. And when you hear his words, you have a choice. You can say, no, no, thank you. And you can walk away sad. And we don't know what happens to this rich young ruler. We never hear of him again. Or you can be like Peter. Say, Jesus, where else am I going to go? You're all I've got. I believe in you. I don't know everything. I'm going to mess up a lot along the way. I'm even going to curse you when you're hanging on that cross. Now, I'm going to mess up a lot, but Jesus, I know this, that your Bible says your grace is sufficient for me. And I know you're going to be there. And I know that. And so Jesus' words are, you're all I've got. Have you come to that point in your life where today, when you hear Jesus' words and when you're reading the Bible and you're making your resolutions for the year, that you're saying, I want to have the best year of my life. And here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to look Jesus in the face every day. As I lay down and I begin to hear from his word and I begin to talk to him and I begin to spill out my life and I'm going to tell him first thing every day is, Jesus, you're all I've got. And John 10:10 will be so true. You will have life and life more abundantly. Let's pray.
Hey, this is Pastor Matt Blair. Thank you so much for taking time to check out our podcast today at solacechurch.com. You know, we realize that it's possible, as you listen to this message today, that God may have spoken to your heart about something. So if you made any kind of spiritual decision, we would love to know about that. You can email us at info@solacechurch.com and let us know what happened in your life today. Once again, thank you so much for taking time to check out this podcast.